You are on the sidelines with football broadcaster Sky Burgess, where I get to know the personalities behind the players. This podcast acknowledges the Wurundjeri people who are the traditional owners of the land on which we stand on. We pay our respects to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultures and to the elders past, present and emerging. In this episode, I get to know Wodonga Raiders Liam Hickey. Stay tuned as I chat to him about all things football, life, mental health, the loss of his brother Ben and his amazing journey to raise funds for brain cancer. Liam, welcome.
Sky, thanks for having me on. Super excited.
No, you are welcome. I guess we'll start with, we're good friends, so I know a lot about you, but let's tell our listeners a bit about you. So let us know where you grew up, your background, family, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, grew up here in Wodonga, Sky. Was originally from Melbourne, but moved up here a couple of years after I was born. Loved growing up here in Wodonga. Obviously, being from here, yeah, participate in lots of sports because that's what the town's about. So, played a little bit of cricket, footy, water polo, mountain bike riding. So, yeah, like every childhood, had an absolute blast growing up in the area. Super active. Always. Yeah, went to school at Catholic College, which is a great school. Had lots of fun there. Grew up here with my mum and dad, brother and sister, so Anne and Leo, my older brother Ben and younger sister Neve.
Neve.
Little Neve girl. So, yeah. And newest addition to my family as well is Oakley.
I know. You're a father. You're a fur father now.
Yeah. Thanks for the puppy, Sky. It's cost me an absolute fortune. She's just had her first surgery.
Yes. For those at home, Liam purchased one of my border collie puppies and she's had her first little mischief.
Yeah.
Got into, we don't even know what, split her paw open in the backyard and now Liam's already knowing what it's like to have children.
100%. Yeah. Well, we think that she might have got her paw stuck underneath the collarbone fence or something. Anywho, don't need to go into great detail. But
relive the trauma for you.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, is what it is.
But she is the light of your life. So, you know.
She absolutely is, yeah.
Brings a lot to your life now.
Yeah, she's an absolute gem. She's so much fun, keeps me modest and also keeps me up early. So
the dog lives a better life than me. I swear, you take her camping. Yeah. What'd you do? Cold dip with you the other day.
Yeah.
So good.
She loves it.
Yes, and I guess we'll get into your footy. That's what we're here to talk about. So you did your juniors at Raiders.
Yeah, done my juniors at Raiders. Well, before juniors, Auskick. Down at the Wodonga race course, which
I never knew they did Auskick at the race course. Just the most bizarre, like in the middle.
Yeah, like in the center of the Wodonga race
course. I guess so, it's wasted space. Hey.
Yeah, well, it was good space for Auskick. Yeah. I don't reckon they do it down there anymore. I reckon they do it at Raiders now.
Yeah, I wonder why. But that's anywho, cool. Yeah. And then to Raiders for junior footy.
And then to Raiders. So yeah, my dad played at Raiders, and so did my brother. So yeah, just followed in their footsteps and played all my juniors there, which was great. Like, it was a great comp in the Ummins and Murray. Yeah, juniors and Raiders were always like super competitive, and we always had like a lot of kids down there, so we always had like Raiders red and blue, always had like enough kids for two teams, which I think was like really awesome.
Yeah, I remember being at Catholic College and it was always like such a divide between like the Doggies boys and then the Raiders boys. Like, they were almost like friendship groups, like based on like who you played for. So, but both clubs always did really well.
I feel like that, the Wodonga side of junior footy like always had like really good young footy players come out of Wodonga. So yeah, played all my juniors and my first senior game in 2013 at Raiders. So I would have been like 16 years old then. So that made
that's pretty good.
Dad and myself the first father son to play senior footy at Wodonga Raiders.
That's crazy. Which is cool. You would really think that someone would have done it. Like, do you know what I mean? It seems like
you almost would have thought so.
Yeah, like it wouldn't be that uncommon. But that's really cool that you guys you'll be able to say that forever.
It can say that forever. Well. Wodonga Raiders, pretty young club. Like, I think it was, 1988, 89 is when it come into the Ummins and Murray. So,
do you start this? Because what were they? They were Demons.
Wodonga Demons,
In what league beforehand?
I think they're Tlangata.
So, do they call the start of their club like when it was started Demons or from the start of Raiders?
No, I think from the start of Raiders, When they come into the Ummins and Murray. Yeah, so played on my junior footy and, obviously me thirds there. Had a bit of a run with the Murray Bush Rangers squad, like training with them before moved over to Western Australia, played some footy over in the West after high school.
Yeah.
Before I then moved to Geelong, where I played.
What made
footy
you
in
move
Geelong.
To WA? Was it work?
Yeah, got an apprenticeship as an electrician. So yeah, and I was pretty keen just to get as far away from here as possible. Like, just had that mentality. I'm like, God, I can't wait to leave.
Yeah,
everyone
thinks they're too cool when they're young, aren't they?
Way
we all come
cool.
back eventually.
Yeah, as far away from mum and dad as I could possibly get, which is pretty stupid to think now, but it's just that age, isn't it?
And it's good. It's about becoming independent and creating your own life. So
absolutely.
Everyone goes through it. But how did you get the job in WA? Was it just like through applying online? Cause
do you know Monica Doolan?
I know the name.
Yeah, Mark Doolan's mum. So Mark,
that's who I am. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, she bumped into me when I was working at Bunnings and yeah, was just like, oh, you wouldn't happen to want a job like over in the West. So end up
so
working
random.
For RTM Electrical. So my boss, Ryan McKenzie, he actually won best and fairest in the Almonds of Murray when he was playing footy at Corowa. So yeah.
Oh, cool.
Small world things.
Yes. Okay. So WA footy, then you went to Geelong.
Yeah, moved to Geelong.
What was in Geelong?
I finished my Sparky apprenticeship in Geelong. But yeah, end up playing like most of my footy there for East Geelong in the Geelong District Footy League. Had an absolute blast. Like,
yeah,
love the league down there, and like all the fellas that I was playing with down there were fantastic. And yeah, the party life is pretty good down there as well, which is like what sort of kept
so you
around.
Had fun because you would have been early 20s by
yeah,
then.
Yeah, I
or?
Reckon I moved there when I was 20.
Yeah,
so 18 to 20.
Prime time,
prime party time, prime.
We love that.
Yeah, footy time. Yeah.
So Geelong. And then...
So then once that sort of wrapped up down in Geelong, moved up to... Well, actually moved to Finley for a little bit before I then, ended up moving back down to Geelong. Didn't actually play any footy in that time until 2019. Played a few games for Yak and Dander before I went over to Europe. So, that was like the last time that I played footy before coming back to the Almonds of Murray 2 years ago.
That's crazy. So... Yak, then Europe. When? Because was that COVID? Was that when COVID?
Before COVID hit. Nah, so that was like I was so lucky to get a Europe summer in. Before it all happened, so pretty well came back from Europe, and then must have been like 4 months or 5 months later is sort of when everyone started talking about COVID.
Yeah.
In that time, I started my own Sparky business down in Geelong, which I was enjoying. Starting to pick up some work and some good contracts and stuff like that. And then they said they were going to close the borders and all the lockdowns are happening. So myself and 4 other mates, we jumped in our vans and headed up the East Coast and just jumped borders for 2.5 years living out of the back of our vans. And I bought a troopy in the end, but and just traveled Australia and just dodging it all.
You've always been a little bit of a hippie, like just going around exploring and seeing things. How was Europe for you?
Europe was awesome. Still have a hangover, and that was years ago.
I don't know, I've done it 3 times and I'm like, I think that's enough now.
It never is enough though, right? You always want to go back. And
there's so many different countries you can see though that I really envy, like the people that live in London, because it's so accessible for them. It's like a couple of hours and they're in Paris or,
Do you prefer Eastern or Western Europe?
Oh, don't make me look dumb.
So do you prefer Amsterdam, France, Spain, Portugal, or do you prefer like the other side, like Poland? And
now I'm
like
going to test you.
The other side of like Germany, go down to Croatia, Greece.
No, probably. Well, like my favorite places were like Croatia, Italy, Greece.
That area. Yeah, so you like Eastern Europe.
Eastern Europe.
It's also a bit cheaper too than Western Europe. Western Europe's expensive. Yeah.
I don't think I've done much of that, to be honest. We did Germany, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there are so many different countries you want to get to, and I don't think like anything's ever enough. But I've said we've got to get more of Australia now.
Yeah, well...
You can tell me where to go.
100%. Well, I'm so glad that I travelled Australia, and I still feel like I've only just touched the borders of it all. But to do it before I'm a grey nomad, like, I feel like everyone's like, oh, I'll travel...
Before you're what?
Like a grey nomad, like...
What does that mean?
Well, when you got grey hair and you get a caravan, you drive around.
I've never heard that.
Because most of the grey nomads, I feel anyway, they pull their caravan up to the spots, but then they don't have the energy to go do like the 12K loop walk around, Kings Canyon or something like that.
So do it while you're young.
Do it while you're young, for sure. And I feel like there's a reason why European backpackers come out to Australia and they don't want to leave.
Yeah, well, that's true. Okay, so travels, COVID. When did you land back at Raiders?
Landed back at Raiders, what? Well, this is second season, so like last season? What
2 years ago,
in?
I don't even know.
2022.
Yeah.
Is that right? 22, 23. Well, this is 24. No, my season started 23. 23 is my first season back. Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, obviously it's been pretty tricky since getting back.
Yeah. How did you like Raiders this year? I mean, obviously you guys had a bit of a tough season, but, you know, what was it like behind closed doors?
Yeah. I mean, the morale was always up. Like, definitely tough in the sense that, yeah, we didn't obviously impact the scoreboard as much as probably what we would have liked of. Got such a young list of boys that are still like developing and learning, and we're all learning the game. And I feel like that obviously Armo leaving halfway through the season as well made it pretty tricky on, like, you know, where's the club at, like what's going on, who do we sort of follow. And, you know, our leaders, Bradley St. John's, Cooper Daly, like, they've done a great job in like keeping the boys unified through that time.
Yeah,
like just super tricky. And yeah, it was just like just a really tough challenge to get through the season, sort of when you are rocking up to the game thinking, God, like, how's this going to go? Yeah. Like, it wasn't a matter of, you know, how, you know, are we going to, like, test the game, this game? It was like, you know, we're just going to make sure we set up a good defense line and not get smacked by 100-plus points.
Yeah.
Because that's just what the game
is. You're on the back foot almost.
Oh, yeah. And that's tough. And that's tough for the younger fellas. But also feel like a lot of gratitude in the years to come is going to come from these times as well. Because although most of the boys are super young, definitely been a tough few years down at Raiders, but I feel like that the way that they're developing, if they like have a preseason, maybe where they put on a bit of size and not worry too much about being run fit, because
cardio.
Well, they're definitely run fit, right?
Like, yeah. They're fast. And the thing is too, is like when you do have so much young talent and you're developing them, that like that's great, but then you need to retain them.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the young ones, they get to a good level and then they leave, which so then you're in this like never ending cycle. So hopefully they can retain some of the boys that, you know, are up and coming, because they do have a lot of talent there, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And I think with like kids like going off to uni, like, you know, playing their juniors and, you know, university, like most kids sort of move away anyway. But I feel like a lot of the younger boys that have been around, well, last year and this year, the ones that I've sort of got to know, I reckon they've already signed for next season. I think it's exciting having a new coach, Chad, coming on board, who's had stuff to do with Raiders in the past. So,
yeah,
I reckon they're excited for the next season to come.
Fresh face.
Fresh face, that's it. Fresh leader.
Okay, well, talking about the struggles on the field this year, you've also had some pretty heavy struggles off the field. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so end of last year, my older brother, Ben, who you know, Sky, you're great friends with him as well, passed away from a brain cancer. So, yeah, that's been like, obviously, like, really challenging in terms of, it's just, like, challenging, isn't it? It's just challenging losing a family member. It's challenging to lose a family member in the way that we did lose him, you know.
And so young, too. Like, you don't expect something like that to happen to someone so young.
Yeah, absolutely not. And also, where they are with brain cancers and treatments, like, they don't have any success rates, really, with glioblastomas. So that's the type of brain tumor that he had. They don't have a treatment or a cure that's, you know, gives people anything more. I think, like, the longest someone sort of lived for with a glioblastoma is around that four-year mark.
Okay.
Which is, you know, not very long at all from when you're diagnosed. So,
yeah. Admittedly, I didn't know much about brain cancer until this happened with Ben. And, like, now knowing the facts behind it, like, it would just be such a scary diagnosis, like, to feel like there's pretty much no hope. Like, that's so scary.
Ben was always optimistic with it, though.
I know, sometimes always. Too optimistic. Like, always. He was Mr. Positivity, and it was like hard to get a read on where he was actually at, because he was just like, everything's okay, like, I'm fine. And I just have so much respect for him to be able to maintain that headspace. Like, I don't think
I could. And it was the whole way through as well, Sky. The whole way through, he was just so positive about it, and he was just always putting his best foot forward.
Yeah.
Always dressed himself to put his best foot forward anyway. Yeah, we actually lost our grandfather to the same type of brain tumour as well. So,
really?
Yeah, my nan's husband. So not biological grandfather, but he's definitely our grandfather.
There's nothing genetic about it. Like,
No.
So it's just coincidence.
It's very coincidence. And it was the same same brain tumour, but obviously Ben being a lot younger and a lot fitter, had a lot more quality time than what granddad had. So I think that was obviously pretty like scary for the family as well to find that out. And like, if you like relate the two, Yeah. Yeah,
it was tough. And do you reckon that the trial drug gave him a lot more time as well?
Yeah, for sure. So, like, the immunotherapy that he had was actually for people with melanoma.
Yeah.
So, and I think that when it sort of first came around, I think that they tried, you know, chemotherapy and radiation, and none of that was attacking the cells that needed to be attacked in his brain tumor. So then it was sort of like a last resort, like, we'll try you on this, not sure how it's going to go.
Yeah.
Ben wasn't in a great, like, his health wasn't that great at this time. But yeah, it just, like, gave him so much, because reduced the volume inside the tumor, really stunted the growth, made it not as active as what it was, because a glioblastoma is a super fast growing type of tumor. So yeah, and it gave him a lot of time with us, I think, and a lot of quality time.
I was going to say, you could notice his whole demeanor when he was on it. Like, he's just so much more color and, like, got life in him. Yeah. So, yeah, well, because I obviously was a massive learning curve for me, I brought in some facts that our listeners might not know, because I think it's such a great educational course. So the things that really shocked me the most is when they're diagnosed, they only have an average survival rate of 15 months. Which is crazy. Survival rates have not improved in over 35 years. Brain cancer kills more children than any other disease, and it kills more people under 40 than any other cancer. Like, that, I just never would have known those things until we experienced this with Ben. So I think it's great to get the message out there and just to educate people a little bit more, which is what you've done, which brings us to your massive fundraiser that you did with Raiders. You raised over $50,000. That's, like, absolutely unreal. What did it mean for you to have, like, the support of the club and to achieve something like that?
It obviously meant so much, and to do it down at Raiders as well, like we touched on before, like, Dad played all of his, well, played his senior footy there. Ben played footy at the club and won a thirds grand final against Myrtleford down there. So it's definitely much, it's absolutely, like, a family club for us.
Yeah.
And for them, they just, like, backed me into the hills, like, from the start, like, you know, from the first meeting, saying, hey guys, like, I'm thinking about hosting a charity match for Ben, like, you know, we might get some jumpers made up, and I think it'll just be, like, a really nice thing to do for myself and something for me to look forward to and to work on, but also for Mum and Dad as well, to have, like, a nice social outing for them, knowing that people support Ben and support us and, like, what we're going through.
Yeah.
And it definitely just got bigger and bigger sort of as the ideas rolled around. Like, I was chatting to, like, my partner Charlie about it, and just saying, you know, might have, like, you know, this match, and she's like, oh, maybe we should reach out on social media and see if we can, you know, maybe we'll have, like, an auction. So it's like, all right, so then we start running with this auction idea, and before we knew it, just posting, like, online, the people that wanted to, you know, donate stuff, you know, from different businesses around the Albury Wodonga community, there ended up being so many that we sort of had to have, like, a raffle as well, because you couldn't, like, have auctioned off, like, you know, 180 everything. Different things. Yeah. And some of them are, like, pretty big ticket items, like, you know, Milwaukee tool kits and Paslo nail gun kits, holidays away, like.
You did a really good job at showing it on your social media. Like, every time someone would donate something, like, you would do a post with the business and that. And, like, the posts just kept coming and coming, like, business after business. I was just so blown away with. And also, that's credit to you, because, I mean, you can sell ice to an Eskimo as is, but I feel like that just goes to show, like, your personality and how willing people were to jump on board, and Ben's personality also. Like, there was so much support there.
Yeah, I'll definitely give the credit to Ben for that one. But, yeah, honestly, this the outreach that it had, and I felt like I really had, like, a sense of purpose for Ben, and, like, my main drive on it all was really, like, whilst I'm, you know, posting, saying, you know, thank you for the donations and, like, all the businesses that sort of had reached out, I was really getting a lot of feedback and, like, having a lot of conversations with people that actually either have brain cancer or have had family members with brain cancer. And they were reaching out saying, like, thank you for, like, doing this, and, you know, thank you for, like, putting yourself out there to try and make a difference. And the awareness side of it, Sky, is, like, just as important as what the monetary value was, you know. So, like, raising $53,000 was way more than what I thought. Like, I think my target goal was 10, but I originally set the bar at 5 because I don't
know. Kept creeping up, creeping up, creeping 100%. Up. New goal, new goal.
Yeah, I really wanted to raise 10, set it at 5, and that's probably just because I didn't want to like not make that target. But yeah, then it just like just blew up, and yeah, like I'm so proud of the efforts of everyone that helped me out with that down at Raiders, like my family, Charlie, Charlie's mom. Like, yeah, I just couldn't have done it without the help of many others as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was fantastic. And yeah, it was a great day. It was a great event down at Raiders. Had heaps of fun at the auction. Leon Kiowski, he is the man. If you ever want someone on a microphone, get Leon Kiowski.
MC.
That guy's a gem. Yeah, he's so good. Great MC. Yeah, and it was just like, it was a good day. Obviously, Raiders didn't get the win. Super unfortunate. Like,
I
was really gunning for that as well. But you can't win it all, Skye. You can't have it all.
No, 50K is a pretty big win.
Yeah, 50K is a huge win. Yeah. 50K is a huge win. And to have, you know, 200 people down at Raiders there for the event as well. That's 200 people that was spent a bit of time talking about brain cancer. And that's probably what my biggest tick of it all was.
Yeah. And I guess through raising so much money, you had someone reach out to you. So the funds you raised went to Carrie Bickmore's Beanies for Brain Cancer.
Yeah.
And I think they were pretty impressed with you and reached out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Carrie's team was like super supportive for everything. So when I was first wanted to have the charity match, like obviously the first thing to do was like, righto, who are we going to raise some funds for? So like, jump online and there's lots of different places that you can raise money for. And I don't want to name too many names when I'm saying this now, but my first question to people was, you know, how much percentage do you take for administration and how much percentage do you, you know, actually donate and like the money is actually put to put to use. And what made me spark this question is that I had a friend that used to go like door knocking for like the Red Cross Foundation and they would get 50% of whatever they raised, which is like super crazy.
I didn't know much about this either but
okay. Most places take like 20 to 25% for admin. So like for every $100 you donate, $25 goes to admin and then you know the rest of it will go to the foundation and, or, you know, helping people or like whatnot.
Yeah.
Where Carrie's foundation takes like 3 to 4%.
Whoa.
Yeah. So they have a really small team of people that run everything.
Yeah. I was going to say, I wonder how they cover all their costs doing that.
Yeah. Well, Lee George, so I'm going to say she's at like the front of it all. Like she is just an absolute magician at what she does. And she does such a good job at delegating everything and making everything run smoothly. So yeah, it's probably a massive credit to her and her team as well. So so probably picking their foundation, like that was something that was really important to me, that, you know, if I'm asking people to be donating and putting something into myself and a belief that I have, trying to do something for my brother, I want to make sure that where it's all going is going to like the right hands and people that are actually really trying to make a difference in that space, not just have like a good logo and just trying to make everything
that's
work
super
properly.
Smart. I wouldn't have thought about that, to be honest. Like most people would just pick the charity for the cause that they want and go from there. So
yeah,
good on you, that's smart. But they end up reaching out and inviting you to their yearly gala. How
was
that?
So the gala ball down in Melbourne, that was like nothing I've ever been to, Skye. You know, like
up with the celebs
but it really felt like it. Dressed up to the nines, got a suit for the occasion, took Charlie down, and had an absolute blast. It was so good, and it was kind of like what we had organized us on a mega scale, right? So I think our highest ticket item at ours was probably worth $5,000, and that was a solar system donated by Jetcar Solar Solutions, the boys down there, thanks heaps for that. But they had like a microphone that was sung with from Harry Styles. They had like signed Foo Fighter guitar.
How do you even get that?
I don't know. I don't know how you get your hands on any of these things.
Crazy.
Like bottles of champagne worth more than my house. Like, it was just, and like trips over to Tuscany. And anyway, it was
massive.
Incredible, right?
Yeah.
And the auction that they had down there was so well put together. In an amazing venue. So it was a fantastic opportunity to get down there and to be sitting at the table as well with some people that, you know, are going through brain cancers, have lost loved ones themselves, and also like Carrie's brain cancer team were all there as well, which was like super important. And like what a privilege to be sitting at a table with people that really care, you know, and people that really want to be there, and you know, probably met more like-minded people for myself, because since losing Ben, like it's become like obviously a real big passion of mine to really want to help make a difference in this space. And like he'll find that reason why. Like, and I can't find it for Ben now, but I can definitely be a part of, and I can definitely hold my head above water and say, I will stay committed to, like, just trying to, like, do things in my life to help be part of that reason why.
Yeah.
Why we find the reason how, you know, whether that's raising money for, you know, for new treatments, or because I definitely don't have the brain capacity to find the treatment.
So, you're not, like, going to cure it yourself.
I'm not going to cure it myself. No, not at all. Which, probably leads to the people that were speaking at this gala ball. So Misty Jenkins, so she's one of, like, the top doctors.
A doctor,
At the Weihai Center, which has been started. So the Brain Cancer Research Center is off the side of Carrie Bickmore's Spanish for Brain Cancer Foundation, but she started, like, the center.
Okay, so in Australia.
Yeah, it's down in Melbourne.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've actually been invited and gone there for a tour as well, which is, like, super interesting.
Cool.
Yeah, and you sort of have a look through, you know, the telescope.
You probably have no idea what you're looking at.
I'm pretty sure telescope goes up. No, microscope.
Microscope, yes.
Yeah. I'm not going to find the reason why, but I'll try.
No, but there's so many different parts to the team. Like you said, you're raising the funds, you know?
Absolutely.
What you're doing is equally as important.
I feel so. And there's lots of good people that are out there doing that as well. But yeah, we listening to Misty Jenkins talk, and I don't know how she did it. She spoke for like 40 minutes, had captivated everyone.
Yeah.
Because she's just like an incredible person, and just like, oh my God, like, just how she, like, ran through these PowerPoints, and she showed us how these new TCAR cells work and the direction that they're heading, and, like, how all of our funds are distributed through everything and how it's all working. And, like, you know, that she truly believes that they are onto something in terms of they're going to be able to sit patients down in the future. And they truly believe this at Carrie's Foundation, that they are going to be able to sit people down and say, you know, you have a brain tumor in the past, for the past 35 years, well, for the past forever, like, we've had no success in this, but, you know, these are going to be your options. And they're working really hard at making that difference. So
it's phenomenal. And I just think, like, Carrie's just such an amazing person. Even when you follow her,
she's cool
online, and that, like, she's just, like, got so much purpose in life, and is just, I take my hat off to her, because to do something like that with your life is so special.
So special.
So that brings us to your next fundraiser. As you said, you're always going to continue to strive to raise money. So your next one is going to be Point to Pinnacle.
Yeah, the Point to Pinnacle. So the Point to Pinnacle is a half marathon that runs from Rex Point all the way up to the top of Mount Wellington. Like 1.4 kilometres of elevation, Sky, which for myself is going to be quite tricky, standing 6'4" and weighing in at 105 kilos. So definitely not a runner, but in full training for it at the moment, which has been good. It's been good to have something to work towards and something, like, in a reason to stay fit. So
so
Point to Pinnacle, I've got 9 mates coming down there to do it with me, and we're part of a Carrie Bickmore's team down there. But you raise money individually individually for your own team. So our team's called For You Ben, which is what we had on the back of our jumpers for the charity match as well. So I'm super excited for the challenge, but getting my head around running and running long distance is something that
and the elevation just throws in, like, a whole new level of complication.
I've been trying just running up Huon Hill, which definitely isn't tall enough for what I need to be training for. But it's the closest hill to home, and that's like 260 meters of elevation. So
what about Nail Can? Isn't that the hilliest hill around here to run?
I think I might need to head out to, like, Bogong or something like that. Okay. Like, find, like, a proper hill to run up, because it's some serious elevation over the kilometers. But really getting into running for it, because, you know, it's not just about finishing; it's also about wanting to do well. Like, there's definitely a competitive side to myself in doing it.
You can't just finish and have that be the achievement. 100%
not.
Oh my goodness!
Definitely want to do good and want to do good for Ben too. Like, I think that it's one thing to, you know, like what we're going to be doing again, you know, having a campaign, raising money, and raising that awareness as well, like on social media. But definitely want to push myself and really make sure that when I do line up on the start line to start that race, Sky, that I'm definitely, like, put my best foot forward and my fittest running version of myself on the start line. So
are you and all the boys gonna run together or separate?
Yeah, we've been chatting about that. We're saying that we'll run together, but I reckon that it's going to get to the 18-kilometre mark, and then I've got a mate, Googs, who's I reckon he'll try to take off. My cousin, Lincoln, I reckon he's going to try to take off as well. I already know a couple of the boys that...
I'm more worried about the ones that are not up with you. And like you said, you're going to want to be running a good time. Like, what about, you're surely not going to slow down to wait for the suckers.
Yeah. Well, I think if we try run it at like, I'm not sure like how the body's going to hold up running at that. But if we can keep it at like a 5 minute 30, 5 minute 45 pace, which sounds realistic now, like I've been running a couple of half marathons and sort of been doing them at like that 5 minute 15 pace. So I'm going to add an extra 30 seconds
per kilometer off the hill.
I don't know. I could be so far off. I could be running them in 8 minutes for all I know. But yeah, the training side of it's been good. And I think that it's going to be a great event. It's going to be great to be back around Carrie's team. Yeah, and doing something for Ben again. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, very good. Well, I guess another touch of, you know, talking about the struggles and everything you've been through this year is like mental health. We talk a lot about what you do for your mental health. Like, what is it for you that helps you get through all that kind of stuff?
I think just being proactive, like being productive and like proactive as well. Like, and like, I feel like that if I wake up in the morning, Sky, and I get myself to the gym, go for a run, go for a walk with the dogs, like just being like active for myself is probably what I reckon is probably the best for my mental health. Cause I feel like that whenever I've had lull periods within my mental health, especially like with what's going on with Ben and the family, I think that, and any other time in my life where I haven't been feeling that great, is probably A, I'm drinking too much, partying too much, or I'm not exercising enough or sleep.
Yeah.
So I feel like that to keep my head above water, yeah, just to really make sure that I'm locking in, getting my 8 hours sleep, making sure that I'm exercising a good amount, and probably like recovery, like jumping the ice baths and in the sauna as well. Like I feel like eating good food as well. Just looking after yourself, Skylar.
General health.
Like I feel like if you fuel yourself and do like good for yourself, like I feel like you get the best out of yourself, and that isn't just with your body's performance. I feel like that's the same with like my mental game as well.
Yeah.
And not spending too much time on my phone, because I feel like my phone is just, it drains you.
It's
like
a hole.
Drains me. It's an absolute
stuck in
hole.
The hole.
It's an absolute hole.
Yeah.
I've actually found like, you know, I've never really been a runner, but I've found that ever since sort of, yeah, trying to pick up more and more kilometers, I've found that that's probably like my best time to have all my negative thoughts, like like whenever I'm like frustrated with something that's going on,
because you're like releasing it almost.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
Fuels your run.
It definitely makes me run harder. Yeah. Sky. So like, I feel like that I touch on probably the most stuff with Ben when I'm running. Yeah, like for instance, like one moment where Ben was really quite unwell. I come back with him in the ambulance from Melbourne, and yeah, that was like a really like tough time for the family. And I can remember getting back to Wodonga and heading back out. I was living at Jack O'Mean's house out in Yak, and getting home, and I just like really wasn't ready for bed, and I hadn't really had like a really good cry about the situation yet. It was kind of like find out what was going on, and then it was just like, yeah, get ourselves home. And it was just like, you know, be positive around Ben and make, you know,
yeah,
what I mean.
You had things to focus on.
But this is probably the first time that I'd really like really properly seen the moment of like, yeah, like this isn't good, and where this going isn't good. And I just needed to like let it out. And I was going for a run. It's like midnight. And as I was running, like I could just feel this build up inside of me about how sad I was for Ben and how sad I was for the family and how sad I was for myself as well, like with what was going on and just how unfair I felt the whole situation was.
Yeah.
And as I was running, Sky, I just ended up just crying, like, and I like properly cried, like end up having to stop because I was just like, just so upset. But it was like in that moment that I could really like allow those emotions to come up midnight underneath the stars out in Yak. And probably since that moment, I've really, every time that I sort of go for a run, because I don't really enjoy doing it that much anyway, is probably like I find the best time for me to like reflect on probably like the negative thoughts and stuff that I have throughout my days or whatnot. But now it's like I use it as fuel. So like when I went for a half marathon last weekend, probably got to like that 14, 15 kilometer mark, and like, you know, you're tired, like I start thinking, gosh, should I just like turn and go home? Like, you know, maybe I'll just get to that tree and just go for a walk. But it really just like fires me up that it's when I think about Ben, because I'm like, well, he would do absolutely anything to be this exhausted, to be breathing this heavy, you know, to be this far into a run. And those sorts are like, they fire me up, Sky. Yeah. Like, it's like, oh my God, like, how lucky am I really to be able to do this, even though I don't enjoy the process as much. But God, you never regret going for a run, do you?
No,
you never do. But yeah, I'm just using like what Ben's experience is now, like as fuel.
Yeah.
Just using it as fuel.
And it puts everything into perspective a little bit.
Puts everything into perspective for sure. And I know that running up this hill, there's going to be big hype around it. It's going to be super exciting. But yeah, I reckon like once you start to get towards the top and like, you know, really deep into the run, I know that Ben's going to be sitting on my shoulder, and I know that I'm really going to be able to feel, I'm going to feel that sky.
I was going to say, that might be a bit emotional for you. I think when you cross that finish line, it might be...
No doubt.
Another emotion release.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to that. Like, I'm looking forward to, you know, how I felt after the charity match. I'm looking forward to how I felt after that function.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward, because it's in those moments, and when I'm out for my runs, is like when it's when I feel close to Ben. I think it's because I allow myself to feel the sadness, and I allow feel the grief of losing my brother. And also, yeah, you just feel so... probably like good for it afterwards, because it's like, what I'm actually doing this for? I'm not doing this for myself. And I think that selflessness of doing it. Yeah.
And it's also, it's good to release those emotions. Like, we're lucky we live in a society now where, you know, it's okay for men to cry. Like, I really feel bad for our parents' generations and that, where they had to be strong and tough all the time and that. But there's so much work around healthy masculinity now. And even just listening to you talking about having a cry, like, it's just, it's so inspirational to have you be comfortable enough to express that. And I think, like, it's really great for younger guys to see that, because it's such a natural emotion. Like, I know I'm super emotional, and like, you have a cry and you feel better after. Like, I just can't imagine not being able to do that. Like, it's perfectly healthy and normal.
Yeah, for sure. I think even like for myself growing up, like, yeah, didn't want to cry around other people, or just like, yeah, didn't want that to be seen. But
yeah,
I think like even just like for our generation now, like the older you get, the more you realize it's just like, oh my God, like you build up so much inside of you, and sometimes this the best way to have that release is just let the tears flow.
Better out than in.
Better out than in, Sky. 100%.
Exactly. Okay, well, that's your next adventure, Point to Pinnacle. Do we know what you're doing for footy next year?
Yeah, I haven't had a chat with Chad Owens yet. So
you're just waiting for the call?
Yeah. Well, I've had a couple of chats with him, but yeah, I'm not 100% sure what I'm going to do next year for footy, Sky. Whether I stick around at Raiders, or I might even go test out one of the other leagues, either the Hume or the Talangata.
Yeah.
But we'll just wait and see. Like, I've had a few clubs now reach out to me, and yeah, I think I definitely want to play footy, but I'm not sure if I'm ready for that commitment again with Raiders and the Ummans and Murray, because
it's a
lot more serious. Yeah. And I think that, you know, being 28 in a few days, like, I'm probably ready to take a step back from taking footy so seriously.
He talks, I'm 32 and still playing. He makes me feel old when you say that. Yeah, I'm 28.
And he just had hip surgery. So
I'll be back at it though. So do you think you are like, do you think you want the fun of the lesser leagues now?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. And probably pretty keen to... Yeah, just probably just have like a different experience, maybe a different club, like, you know, freshen it up. Like,
yeah.
I've never lived somewhere since being out of school for two years. So,
yeah. And you like making new friends.
Definitely like making new friends, new connections.
Okay.
You
heard it here first, people. It might be a fresh start next year.
Maybe. We'll wait and see.
Okay. Well, we always like to finish with a fun little game around here. Your game?
Yeah.
Game for a game?
Keen as.
Okay. We're going to play a little game. Just lost my mic. Would you rather?
Let's do it.
Okay. Would you rather, for the rest of your career, wear long socks every game or no socks every game?
I reckon I'm going to have to go with long socks, Guy.
Something so nerdy about them. I know that's the wrong... Unless you're a ruckman.
Imagine
they're essential.
Imagine the blisters. Yeah. Well, I'm the most undersized ruckman in the Ummans and Murray. So
if you sweat a lot too, no socks, that would be...
Yeah. No, it'd be so hard. Imagine the blisters.
What about long socks or sockets?
Ooh. Nah, you need to have some sort of socks sticking
up. Have the
I actually
colour.
Thought about that. Yeah. I don't know why I thought about that. Yeah. No, you need something sort of coming up out of your boots. I
just
reckon.
To show the little bit of red or whatever colour it may 100%. Be next year. Okay, would you rather be a bench player in a premiership side or a star in a losing team?
Bench player and a loser. Wait, what was it? A star in a...
No, a bench player in a premiership side. So yeah. you win the flag, but you barely get on the field. You might get a few minutes of game time. Or a star in a losing team. Like, you're getting best on everywhere. You're winning the BNF.
Nah, I'd rather be at the bench in a premiership game. Okay. Yeah.
You'd rather celebrate with them.
I would
mates.
Rather celebrate it, yeah. And even if I just get 2 minutes out on the ground in a grand final...
I
would 100% make sure I run into someone in those 2 minutes. Like, I'd make the 2 minutes count.
Yeah. Great attitude. We love that. Okay. Would you rather Cal Wilkie on your team or Jack Sinclair?
Oh, Cal Wilkie for sure. God, he's a gun, isn't he?
We're both defenders, so I feel like we really appreciate it. It was nice to see him win St. Kilda's BNF this year because
so
I feel like
good.
Sometimes defenders go a little bit unrewarded.
100%. Yeah, it's pretty hard to win a BNF in the back line, but I mean, when you had a season like what he's had, gee whiz.
He's just, he's a brick wall. We love it.
Absolutely.
Okay, would you rather have super strength or be able to fly?
I think that I would prefer to fly.
Really?
Yeah. Well, airfares are so expensive, Skye.
That's true. Well, I think I'd rather super strength, especially like as a footballer. Like, could you imagine just running through the field like Harley Reid,
doing
Dustin Martin, Dusty Don't Argue, like no one, do a Camellus Yolman, like no one can take you down.
Oh my God, I tell you what, I'd love to have super strength and be able to run up to Cam and push him over.
He wouldn't know what hit him, he's not used to that.
I've tried to do that a couple of times and it hasn't worked out well in my favour.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, he's a strong boy.
Yeah. Okay, would you rather, I like this one, would you rather kick the winning goal or lay a game-saving tackle?
Game-saving tackle. I reckon I would love that.
Yeah.
Imagine the game-saving tackle, like vision this,
that's
right?
That's the feeling.
You're running on like on the wing, through the flank.
Open wing.
Yeah. There's 1,000 people watching you. Grand final, it's going off. Bloody, who's got the ball? Callum Moore's got
the
ball.
How long left? Like 15 seconds to go.
You know he can kick it from 55.
Yeah, no.
And here comes buddy Liam Hickey with it. Come through and just take me out. No, that would be, honestly, game-saving tackle.
Yeah, no, I'm the same.
I reckon it'd be better than the goal.
Yeah, well, we're both defenders. So, and like I said, I'm not very good in front of goal, so I wouldn't really know like what that feels like to kick a game-winning goal. But
I missed a set shot this year from like 20 metres out, not that much of an angle. So, yeah.
Doesn't feel good, does it?
Nah, don't love.
That's
don't
why
love.
I moved from the forward line to the back line. But no, I'm with you. There's no better feeling. Like, even in just a normal game, like say when you get a job on like the best on ground or something and then they're like taking a run and you get ball, like there's just no better feeling, like it fuels you from the inside.
100%. Yeah. It's a good feeling. Definitely a good feeling, laying a good tackle.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, last question for the day. We're going to ask you, who is your favorite player to watch at the moment? You can give us AFL. You can give us O&M. You can give us AFLW. If you're keen enough to try that, or you can give us all of the above.
Oh, God, who's my favourite player to watch?
Yeah.
I reckon my favourite player to watch at Raiders would probably be Cooper Daly.
Okay.
Yeah, he's so fun to watch.
That's a different one.
Well, especially because you know he's just such a nice fella. But then he laid that, I'm pretty sure he was the league. He got the most tackles this year.
I feel like he's extremely underrated.
Oh, extremely underrated, 100%. And he's just like so calm in how he does everything, but then he's just got that dog in him and it just comes out when he's playing footy.
On field,
I probably enjoy watching him the most at our league. And then in the AFL, probably, who's our ruckman again?
Marshall.
Yeah,
Rowan Marshall. Yeah. He polled the best for us in... the Brownlow.
Did he actually?
Yeah.
Yeah. Rowan Marshall.
Yeah.
God, he's just so fun to watch, isn't he?
He is.
I think it's hard to say not Harley Reid, but I actually haven't watched too many West Coast games. But
he's extremely good, but I think like his highlights, I was going to say, to watch a whole game is different. Like someone like Rowan Marshall is probably like consistent through the whole game, whereas Harley has like really cool moments.
Yeah, absolutely.
A different.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. probably hardly right.
Do you know any AFLW people?
You?
It's okay. We'll educate him. We'll get him watching a few AFLW games. It's on the rise now.
Yeah.
The girls are killing it like this season.
Well, the Saint girls are killing it.
Yeah. Mm. I know after watching it. We're both Saint Kilda for anyone that doesn't know.
Go to the Saints.
But yeah, no, we had a rough year for the males this year. So it's good to see the girls coming out firing. They're in the top eight.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
They've dropped down to eighth now, but they're still in.
Yeah.
So that's an improvement for us. We'll take it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And how'd they go last year?
Yeah, they've not really ever been strong. So this is probably like the best season they've had, which is why it's exciting because you can see the improvement.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole league's improving. So
yeah, that's fantastic.
Onwards and upwards.
Onwards and upwards for sure.
Well, thank you very much for coming in today, Liam. It was great letting everyone get to know you.
Nah, thanks heaps for having me on, Sky. And yeah, best of luck with your podcast. Super excited to see who else you get on. Listen to some good stories.
Stay tuned for the next. Should we leak it? Nah, we'll keep it a secret.
Yeah, keep it a secret. Secrets are good.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, see yous.
Bye, guys.